But I ain't never met one single miserable saved person. Because the Bible said God has provided for us a rest. And I'm looking forward to resting. Man, I've been working all of my life. And He gets some better thing provided for us. And it's a rest. And I'm looking forward to getting to that place of rest. Amen. Down here we're troubled on every hand. And that song right there says it's going to get up, get up, get up. He's not the God of the dead. He's God of the living. And He's coming for His.
Yes.
Our Sunday school lesson this morning was in Daniel chapter 12. I believe it's verse number 4. Talks about two resurrections. Mm-hmm. And St. John chapter 5 again talks about two resurrections. And I meant to turn to the other one where it talked about He separated the sheep from the goats. I forgot to. But there's a need to be ready. I know there's a lot of things in this life we may not understand, but understand this. There is a judgment.
Yeah, that's right.
We're all going to stand before God and give an account. And I'm glad, praise God, I have somebody standing with me that I won't be standing alone. I've got a good lawyer, a good Jewish lawyer, an advocate. He's going to present me to the Father.
Yes.
Without fault, without blemish, in His presence with exceeding joy. And I like the way that sounds because I've got plenty of fault.
Yeah.
I mean, the Bible said there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. That's me. That's you.
That's right.
And all of sin comes short of the glory of God. But praise God, we've got a good lawyer. And He's our Savior, our Redeemer. And He's done something nobody else could do. He purged us from our sins and washed us from our sins with His blood. And praise God, the Bible said, where there's no blood, there's no remission of sin. My sins is gone. They're in the blood. He, so far, He removed them. The Bible said He moved them as far as the east is from the west. Never remember no more against us. I don't know if you understand that or not, but as long as you're going east, you're never going to find the west.
That's right.
Now, you can find north and south, but if you're going east, you go around this world as many times as you want to, even though they think the earth is flat. And that's quite a debate going on right now about earth being flat. That's sad that we've resorted back to that ignorance or that lie that the earth's flat. But anyway, the earth is round. And with it being round, as long as you're going east, you're never going to find the west. I'll take our Bibles this morning to Acts chapter number 26. And I desire your prayers this morning. Since last Sunday, we had four people to come forward and make a profession of faith.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful in this day and hour we're living in. This is the dry. There's not a lot of great revivals going on. There's no great cloud of wet people coming to get saved. Just laying in the fields, all we're doing. Just getting what's left.
That's right.
But that was a beautiful sight, seeing them four come forward.
Amen.
They made the devil mad. I haven't had everything happen to me this week. Monday, going to work Monday night, my truck ran out of gas. And old Nelly on my road, Brother Mitchell has cars. It's not even safe to back out of the driveway. They run that road down.
Right.
I never met a car. I had to walk about 5 miles back to the house. But I used to be against daylight savings time. I'm pro daylight savings time now. It was still daylight time I got to the house. About halfway up there, I pretty winded. I said, Lord, if there's something you want to say, I'm ready to listen. I thought maybe the Lord wanted to talk to me, so I just said, I'm ready. Hold my hands up and said, I'm ready to listen.
Yeah.
And I didn't get any word from the Lord or nothing, but Monday night, I ran out of gas, got the gas in my truck, went on to work, I was an hour late. The next day, just Joanne, my water pump went out on my truck. The Bible says, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation on the trial of your faith, bring forth patience. But anyway, I got my water pump fixed, and I had the dilemma of trying to get to where that little red car out there, I had drove it up there to get my truck, because it made more sense to me to pay somebody to put the water pump on there where I could get some sleep. Then me put it on there and then have to go to work that night without any sleep. So I paid a man to put the water pump on there. So I drove a little red car up there. I got my truck and I had to leave the little red car there. And I drove back home in my truck. Well, this Friday morning, I'm sitting there thinking, Lord, where is everybody? Nobody going up down the road or nothing. And right then in my driveway, I said, Lord, would you please send me a ride by here so I can get up there to my truck? And here, sure enough, come a car. So then I said that. Now, real quick, I said, Lord, let it be a man, not a woman. And sure enough, stopped right there at the end of my driveway, and the lady rolled the window down. And she said, I sure do appreciate them signs you got in your front yard. And she said, I get a blessing every time I see them, and I thank God for them because my husband's lost. And the scriptural side, they got two scriptures, one on each side. And I, of course, I've done asked God for a ride. I said, there wouldn't be any chance you'd be going by your right, Brother Mitchell?
I'm all right.
Yeah, I said, well, me no chance you'd be going by Lakeside Tire, would you? She said, yes, sir, I am. I said, can I please get a ride with you? And she had her son sitting in the passenger seat, so I sat in the back. And I have to admit, that was one godly woman. I had a good conversation with her.
Praise the Lord.
And she shared some things with me that I want y'all to pray about. Her husband's name's Frank. Her son's name's Frank. And her husband's name's Frank. She's saved. Her son's saved. But her husband's lost, and he's spiritually bound. He's brought up in another type of faith. To think they're the only ones going to heaven, I ain't going to elaborate on that. But anyway, she said, please pray for him, he'll get saved. She said, he wants a divorce, but I don't want a divorce. I believe in commitment. And I'm praying God will get him saved, and we can salvage our marriage. She said she's living in a terrible, almost like living in hell, because him being a lost man and everything. But his name's Frank. Remember him, and God will help that man to get in church, get saved. And her name's April, and boy, she's one godly woman. I was kind of hoping we'd go on to town and get my car on the way back. I really enjoyed the fellowship with her. Acts chapter 26, and we'll start reading verse number 9, and I'll read down to verse number 23. And quite a bit of scripture reading here. Acts 26, it's Paul. It used to be Saul. And he's speaking to King Agrippa. And he's given really a testimony of him getting saved. And he said, I verily thought within myself. Right there is where we mess up.
Yeah.
The Bible says, lean not to thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path, thy steps. We somehow, our mind, we somehow think we're capable of understanding God. We think somehow we're able to understand a Naaman when it was a leper. His Jewish maid, which was a captive that they captured when they conquered this city. He brought this little girl and she became their maid. But he was a leper. And the little girl said, oh, that my master would go to Jerusalem, for there's a prophet there that would cure him of his leprosy. And he went. And in his mind, he thought that this prophet ought to come out and lay his hand on him and call upon God and recover him from his leprosy. But the prophet sent a servant out, and he didn't even come out himself, and he just told him something simple like, go dip in Jordan 7 times and you'll be clean. It made Naaman mad. He had it in his mind that he could understand what God would do. Well, that's Saul here. I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints did I shut up in prison, and having received authority from the chief priest, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. You know, power is something you need to be careful about who you give power to. We've got politicians now, and some of them should have never been given power.
Right.
Power corrupts some people, and other people are able to use that power in the right way. But here he's been given power. He's been given authority from the chief priest. And now he's out murdering Christians and bringing them to be put to death. And he's given his voice against these Christians. He said, and I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities, Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me. Now, in this congregation here this morning, we've probably got maybe 15 people here. But in just 15 people, God can speak to one person,
yes,
even here today.
Right.
Amen.
God can speak to all of us, don't get me wrong.
Right.
But He can speak, even though there's that many people here, He can speak to one person individually. And in this case, God is speaking to Saul.
Yeah.
And He said, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And He said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee to open their eyes. Boy, I know a lot of people need their eyes open.
That's right. Amen.
I mean, they got eyes, but they just can't see. You know, Nicodemus, he couldn't see. The Lord said, marvel not, I say unto you, you must be born again. He said,
that's right.
How can this be? Do I need to enter my mother's womb a second time and be born again? Jesus talked about, except you be born again, you can't see the kingdom of heaven. And people, they need their eyes open. And He said to open their eyes and to turn them, this is important, from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meant for repentance. For this cause, or for these causes, the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day witnessing both the small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, that He should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. We'll stop our reading right there. And our text verse is verse number 13, where Saul said, I saw in the way a light from heaven. And I want to preach today, I saw the light, and I desire your prayers. Father, we thank You for the privilege to stand for the Word of God. And Lord, I confess before You and before these people, Lord, how unprepared I am today, Lord, to deliver this message. Lord, You might be able to use me better in this capacity, Lord, than even if I was prepared. But I pray for Your help today. I pray You would undergird me. And Lord, I pray to be anointed from on high. May You give me words to give to these that are before me. And we'll all give You the praise and the glory for anything, Lord, that You see fit to do here today. Lord, we know the time is short. We know the day's at hand. We know, Lord, the night comes when no man can work. We know darkness is coming. The prince of darkness can't wait to take over. We understand that. We just have a little time here to work. And we're thankful, Lord, to have that opportunity. Help us here today. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
Just the other day, y'all sung the song here, I Saw the Light, Hank Williams, and I was interested enough to look that song up. Hank Williams wrote that song April the 21st, 1948, and Hank Williams released that song September 1948. If you'll remember, Israel became a nation again in 1948.
Right.
And the testimony of this song, I Saw the Light, Hank Williams was passed out in the back of a limousine, and Minnie Pearl and Dolly Parton was trying to get him sobered up enough to get on the stage at the Grand Ole Opry, because he was supposed to be the next one to sing. And they were trying to get some coffee in him and trying to get him woke up. And when he came to, that was what he said. He said, I saw the light. Now I'm just going to read these words. I ain't no singer. But Hank Williams said, I wandered so aimless, life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I saw the light.
Amen.
And I'm not going to read the chorus. Well, I will. I saw the light. I saw the light. No more darkness. No more night. Now I'm so happy. No sorrow in sight. Praise the Lord. I saw the light. Mm-hmm. He says, just like a blind man, I wandered along. Worries and fears I claimed for my own. Then like the blind man that God gave back his sight. Praise the Lord. I saw the light. And the chorus says again, I saw the light. I saw the light. No more darkness. No more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow in sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. He said, I was a fool to wander and stray. Straight's the gate and narrow's the way. Now I've traded the wrong for the right. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
Amen.
Now what Hank Williams wrote there, how true that is.
Yes.
That people need, right. Paul was told here to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. There's two forces down here. One of them's darkness, and the other one is light.
Right.
We're children of light because we've been born into that marvelous light, the light of God. And the Bible tells us not to have no fellowship with darkness, but we do. We somehow want to make the church gray, and it don't need to be gray. The church needs to be trimmed and let the light shine. We need to let the light shine because there's so much darkness out there that they'll never know until they come to the light. They're wandering about and groping about in darkness. They stumble. They don't even know what they're stumbling at. They blame God for everything that goes wrong. And God's there to help. God's there to heal. God's there to save. But I'll tell you what, they just don't know Him. And Saul here thought he knew somewhat about God. And Saul said, I thought within myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus.
Uh-huh.
Now, many people profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being reprobate. Saul fit that category.
Yes,
he thought he was doing God's service. He's a lot like a lot of these mixed up bunch down here that think that their God's the only God and that their way's the only way, and they've missed out on the true and living way. They've missed out on the message. They've got it all wrong, but who could convince them that they're wrong? Saul was like that. No one could convince him that he was wrong. He heard the message of Stephen in Acts chapter 7. It was gun barrel straight. It made a lot of people mad. I mean, they rushed on him and gnashed on him with their teeth. They took him out and stoned him and laid their feet at the laid their clothes at the feet of a man which was Saul, and he saw and consented to the stoning of Stephen. Some people, you just can't convince them any otherwise. I work with people. I work with one man. He's a Jehovah's Witness. I told him I was a Jehovah's Witness too, a saved one. But I worked with another man. He's a Mormon. And I didn't know he was a Mormon until he said one day that he was. And I said, I thought you told me you're saved. And I told him pretty blunt. His name's Tony. I said, Tony, I got news for you, buddy. You're going to hell if you don't get saved. Boy, he lost all color. He couldn't believe I said that. He came to me a little later, Brother Ed. He said, you mean to tell me I'm going to hell? I said, Tony, you're not just going to hell. You're taking your family with you.
Yeah.
I said, is that what you want, buddy? I said, God's way is not like that. God made His way, and it's the only way. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man come to the Father but by me. You know, a lot of people have got it all figured out. Only thing is, they got it all figured out wrong. God made it simple. Many have done harm to the simplicity of Christ. There are many enemies of the cross. I'm telling you, Paul, which was Saul back then, he was a persecutor. Yeah. He was an enemy of the cross. And he had more than a close encounter. Yeah. He had a head-on collision, not just with Jesus, but with truth. And he got straightened out. And boy, he was, one of the greatest. Yeah. Of the greatest. Yeah. Jesus said he's a chosen vessel unto me. And he turned the world upside down. The Bible said immediately he preached Christ. Amen. Oh, you talking about getting straightened out. Amen. He counted all that stuff that he'd learned at the feet of Gamaliel. He counted it but dumb for the excellency of Christ. He said it ain't even fit, even half. Throw it away. Amen, Sister Rita. Throw it away. But God is light. The Bible said in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. In him is no darkness at all. We got a world down here now. I don't know if you've noticed it now. They're trying to make a melting pot. They're trying to figure out some way that we can merge. Some way we can all get along. Well, we ain't all going to get along.
Nope.
I mean, Jesus in the world, and the world hated him. They hated him without a cause. And he said, if it hated me, they'll hate you. Mm-hmm. We just ain't going to get along. We don't fit. I mean, what fellowship has light with darkness? They're contrary one to another. Right. It's hard for me to hear the language that I used to use until I got saved. Right. And I got straightened out. And I tell you what, that manner of conversation, the Bible says, cease to hear it. Cease to mention that kind of conversation.
Right.
As becoming saints, it says, to cease being around that kind of communication. I used to talk filthy. I tell you what, I was filthy. There wasn't nothing about me. It wasn't a sinner. And I tell you what, some of them rough sinners make good Christians. But God's light, and in him's no darkness at all. And if you want to have fellowship with God, you got to walk in the light. Because he's in the light. And I tell you what, there ain't no way to take the world one hand and God with the other hand and go down there and have fellowship. I'm telling you, buddy, God's a jealous God. Amen. Jesus, the Bible said, he's that true light.
Yeah.
That's important. And slow down here just a little bit. Jesus is the true light.
Yes, he is.
The light of every man that cometh in the world. You see, Satan's able to transform himself to an angel of light.
Mm-hmm.
Paul said, no marvel that his ministers also are ministers of righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Now that true light, there's a difference between God's light and Satan's light. Satan's light is a false light. It's not the true light. It's a similitude. It's hard to tell apart. But I tell you what, Satan, the Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, that Satan not only is a deceiver, but he's able to transform himself into an angel of light. The Bible tells us to believe not every spirit, but to try the spirits, whether they're of God or not. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. One thing you can count on is, I'm telling you, the devil, they're trying to deceive you. They're trying to put a different Bible in your hand. They're trying to get you to believe something contrary to the Word of God. I'm telling you, buddy, we need to hold on to the things that we know.
Amen.
Hold them dear. I'm telling you, don't let them slip. We ought to give the most earnest heed to what we heard. Let's get any time we let them slip. As I watch going on in the world, I see where there's a lot of slipping going on, amen.
That's right.
Man, we're supposed to be steadfast, Brother Jerry. We're supposed to be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. But the world, they want to somehow go that slippery way. Saul not only was in spiritual darkness, but Saul was on his way to hell.
Uh-huh.
If Jesus had not stood in his way, he would have ended up in that place of the damned.
That's right.
Now that's one thing for Saul. But I had the same thing happen to me. I was on my way to hell.
Yeah.
And I'm glad somebody stood my way.
That's
right. Somebody stood your way.
That's right.
Praise God, he got in the way. We'd have somehow made it all the way to that place of the flames, a place of eternal regret.
Amen.
But I'm glad he stood in the way And even though we all tried to find a way around him, I'm glad he's kind of like a good goalkeeper. He didn't let us get by, amen. And he was there, I'm telling you, and he was trying to prevent me from ending up in hell and trying to prevent all from ending up in hell. I'm telling you, buddy, hell's not a fun place. I've got a sign on the back of my truck that says the party in hell has been canceled due to the fire. I'm telling you, down there, the national calls for pain. Down there, they pray for one drop of water, and there's no water there, amen. I'm telling you, heavenly. Eternity to regret missing out on heaven. But I'm glad, praise God, we got one standing in our way.
Yeah.
I'm glad, praise God, the Lord loves us enough that He'll get in our way. He got in Saul's way. Even though Saul thought he's right, praise God, he found out he wasn't right. He found out he's wrong. Amen. Now this took place in Acts chapter number 9. But Saul's given testimony. He done it twice. He gave his testimony once in Acts chapter 22. And now he's giving his testimony again here in Acts chapter number 26. Saul saw that light. And straightway, praise God, not only did he get saved, but he preached Christ. That true light makes a difference. That light, God provides that light. You know, men love darkness rather than light. The reason they do is because their deeds are evil. Neither come they to the light, lest their deeds be reproved. They need light, but they don't want it. But they need it, and it needs the light of their darkened hearts. I mentioned earlier here about the night comes when no man can work.
Yeah.
What that means is we're gone.
That's right.
We're the light of the world.
Amen.
We're His witnesses. We're children of light. But when God comes for us, Brother Ed, there'll be a darkness come up on this earth.
Right, right.
Because
Amen.
The prince of darkness will come out of hiding. The reason he can't come out right now is because of this light.
Right.
When God takes this light out, the darkness is going to take over.
Yeah.
And it's going to be kind of like Egypt. It's going to be a darkness that can't be felt. I'll tell you what, buddy, what will do the world when it does come? We won't have to worry about it. We're going to be up there in heaven rejoicing, kicking up gold dust, thanking the Lord for not only giving His life a ransom for us, but loving us enough to keep us from going to the place called hell, allowing us to have the privilege to have a home in heaven. We're going to be enjoying the things of God, but the world's going to be enduring, I'm telling you, the tribulation, the darkness that right now wants to take over. And the only reason the darkness can't take over is because of the light that He put in us. He's the light that lighteth every man. And He lit me, praise God, April 27th, 1988. And He's still lit up today. Amen. Now, this is a condemnation of the world. That light is coming to the world. And not only does the world neglect that light, but they reject that light. They'll go to anybody but to Jesus. But I'm telling you, only He can light them. Amen.
Good job.
You know, when God created everything in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, He said, "Let there be light."
And there was
light.
Amen.
Boy, that's a wonderful thing.
Amen.
God supplies the light.
Mm-hmm.
We need the light.
Yes, we do.
Man, I have to admit, I'm like Saul. I used to think I was right. I thought I was as good as those hypocrites, you know. But I realized Brother Mitchell had to be born again. After, you know, the Bible said God chose the foolish to preach and to save them that believe.
Yeah.
I sat there and I'd never been in the presence of preaching before. But I sat there in the presence of that preaching. And that preaching was able to get through to me, Karen. And it was able to show me that I was lost.
Right.
I was without hope.
Amen.
Without God in the world.
Right. Come on,
but
right.
Also was made known that God loved me.
Right.
He wanted to save
Amen.
Me.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you what, buddy. Made it so easy for me that if I would confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart that God had raised Him from the dead, that I could be saved. It's such a simple plan that God said, if you'll just come to me, if you'll just call up on me, that's rich in mercy, to all that call up on me, I'll forgive you, I'll save you, I'll redeem you, amen, and praise God, give you a home in heaven. Anybody that turns that offer down, I'm telling you, you're in a terrible dilemma. One day you're going to run out of time. One day you're going to stand before God in your sin. You're going to stand and give account to God. time. But I'm glad that the welcome mat is still on the threshold of heaven.
Yeah.
I'm glad the nail-scarred hand of Jesus still reaching out said, come unto me.
Yeah.
I'll fix it.
Right.
Come unto me.
Amen.
I'll save you. Come unto me. I'll forgive you. Come unto me. We'll fix it today.
Amen.
You know a tremendous verse in the Bible. I was looking on the news this week about a man, and I have to admit, at first look, he killed this woman's two daughters, not one, but two of them. And there's probably more to it. I ain't going to elaborate on that. But the mother of those two girls, she confronted this man, and she said, I hope you rot in hell. Mm-hmm. And even though, you know, I can't put her down for that, I mean, he's robbed her two, her daughters. That man there, even though he's done the unthinkable, he can still be forgiven.
Yes,
he can still be saved. He can still have a home in heaven.
Right.
That verse I was going to quote is Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Come now, saith the Lord, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, I'll make them as wool. God's got the cure of sin. God's got the forgiveness to forgive anyone no matter what you done.
Right.
I remember, Brother Ed, the day I come to God, I thought, how in the world could God ever forgive me of all that I've done? It didn't take Him no time. I mean, it was spontaneous.
Man.
It went from condemnation and guilt to peace and joy and
spiritual.
Right. It was so wonderful. I'd like to go through it again, Mary. I really would. I'd like to go through it one more time.
Right.
The psalm that says, Psalms 8, verse 34, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I'm telling you, praise God. I've been in the buffet line ever since that day. But it was so wonderful on that day. It was so wonderful. I went, looked in the mirror. I don't know if I thought I had a halo or what, but it was so different in here since the Carolyn. I had to go look, and the mirror couldn't show the difference, but I couldn't hide it, amen. And coming to Jesus makes a difference, amen. Boy, I started sleeping better. I started thinking better, talking better, walking better. I started feeling better. Man, it felt pretty damn darn good, you know what I mean? I mean, I just didn't know what I was missing out on for 34 years. I was like Saul. I was going, but I was going without God. And I'm telling you, I found it one day, run straight into Him. And He helped me, amen. And He saved me, glory to God. You might not be able to put in words. I've heard it said like this, it's better felt than told. That's probably pretty true.
Yeah.
But God, when He created everything, He said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw that light, that it was good. Verse 4. Let me tell you something. Light dispels darkness. Even a little light will dispel the greatest darkness. I've been in the cave before. We used to skip school all the time. Joanne, we go out there to Salt Peter's Cave, and we was poor, so we took the light bulb out of our motorcycle, and the motorcycle battery, two wires. Anyway, we back there, what they call Fat Man's Mission. There's a big hole back there. I don't know how far it goes down. You can drop, you can't hear nothing. But anyway, my light bulb burned out back there. And we had to feel our way out of that cave. And I'm not kidding, Karen, you couldn't see your hand in front of your face.
Yeah,
but that little bitty light bulb was able to light that cave up.
Right.
That's the way we are.
Right.
We might just be a little bit of light. Let it shine, let it shine.
That's right.
Yeah, it's a light of mine. I'm going to let it shine to Jesus. I'm going to let it shine. Well, that's what we need to do. Let our little light shine. Because I'll tell you what, that little light dispels the greatest darkness. The prince of darkness can't do what he wants to do because we're in the way. But when we get taken out of the way, boy, he's coming out of hiding and he's going to see the whole world. He's going to cast a spell upon people and they're going to believe a lie. Or they're going to accept him as being their only hope. They're going to receive his mark in their forehead and upon the palm of their hand. And it's going to be a curse. It's going to be a double dilemma because whosoever receives the mark of the beast is going to be damned forever. But God's word, praise God, even today is a lamp unto our feet and a light in our path. Psalm 119, verse 105. His word is the source of the light, and His Son is the other source of our light. And people which sit in darkness Jesus said, Matthew chapter 4, verse 16, they saw great light. That's mentioned also in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. And we get saved, we become children of light.
That's right.
Boy, I thank God. Saul, man, he looked back on that and like everybody else, wondered how you could get that lost, how you could get that wrong, how you could get that deceived.
Yeah.
And here he was thinking he's doing God's service. He's persecuting Christians. Man, he's having them arrested. He's having them put to death.
Yeah.
He's consenting to their death. And he runs into Jesus. Now, I'm going to guess, Karen, he's in his mind, he's thinking Jesus is some little limp-wrist Jew, you know. But he mentioned about that. He said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, that was quite an encounter. It didn't take him no time, Brother Mitchell, get on board. The Bible talks about the fear of God. That's a pretty good influence.
Yeah.
I tell anybody the fear of God prevailed against all that he'd learned. He threw it away. He had no problem at all realizing that he was in need of being saved.
Yeah.
He said, who art thou, Lord? What would you have me do? I'm telling you, buddy, he's ready to listen. He's ready to do anything God bids him to do. And here God gives him instruction and he tells him to go out. And he said, arise, stand on your feet. I've appeared unto you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of these things which you've seen and those things which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that's in me. That's quite a mission.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. We can do the same thing.
That's right.
Amen.
We can tell someone there's help in Him.
Mm-hmm.
There's
right.
hope in Him.
Right.
There's healing in Him.
Yes.
God right. offers us everything we need. The only thing is we'll go to everybody but Him for
right.
need.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad that God's never very far from any one of us. He's close enough that we can reach out and find Him.
Right.
Find
yes.
Him and feel after
yes.
Him.
Yes.
It's not like we got to call 911. If you tell God I need some help down here, we can dial G-O-D. I need help.
That's
God,
right.
the Bible
right.
said that yeah. God, not only will He be there when we call upon Him, Jeremiah 33:3, call upon me in a day of trouble, and I'll show you great and mighty things you know not.
Right.
Boy, I know who to call on when I get in trouble.
Yeah, boy. Right.
It don't take me long. I say, Lord, me and you, we need to talk right now.
Right.
I tell you, God's never too busy. I never got a busy signal. I don't know about y'all. Y'all call on God. It's never been busy. It's always been speak, son. And we've had some good conversations. Some of them was my ignorance. God, I'd help you with it. But I found out when I ask anything, according to His will,
yes,
that's right.
He hears me.
Right.
Amen.
As long as I'm praying according to His will, He'll answer.
That's right.
Sometimes the answer is no, but He'll answer.
That's right. Yeah.
I'll tell you, buddy, I still ain't learned it all yet. But I've learned one thing, God, His will towards me is good. He loves me. I don't really understand everything there is to understand about God, but I do understand this. I'd have been in hell, and I'd have been there right now if it hadn't been for like Saul here running into Jesus and Him helping me to see that I was wrong and He is right. It helped me to see that I needed Him as my Lord and Savior. And I'll tell you what, God's there to help you too.
Amen.
That Ethiopian eunuch, he was reading his Bible, and I recommend everybody read your Bible.
That's right.
But he was reading his Bible, and the Bible said the Holy Spirit told Philip, go join yourself to that chariot.
Yes. Yes.
Now here Philip is out there in the desert. He's been in one of the greatest revivals ever, and God told him to leave it. Now, I can't imagine a good Baptist preacher leaving a revival like that. And he left, and Peter, James, and John carried it on. And he's out there in the desert, and he's out there for such a time as this Ethiopian eunuch. He's a man of great authority under Candace, the queen. He just came back from Jerusalem. And I don't know how in the world he got the book of Isaiah, but he's reading Isaiah chapter 53, Brother Jerry. And as he's reading that, of course, they had scrolls back then.
Yeah.
Philip comes along and he says something about like most preachers, understandest what thou readest? That Ethiopian eunuch said something kind of phenomenal. He said, how can I except some man should guide me and tell me men need help?
Yeah.
And the Bible said they stopped the chariot and he beckoned Philip to come up in the chariot and carry him. He the same scripture, and he preached unto him Jesus.
Yeah.
That Ethiopian eunuch, but it must have got pretty warm over where he's at. He said, behold, there's water.
Amen.
We're doing 100 men being baptized. And Philip said something. Now, this is not in all Bibles, Brother Mitchell.
Right.
If you got the right Bible, this verse is in there, and if you don't, you need to throw what you got away.
That's right.
This verse don't line up with everybody's doctrine, so only the King James Bible. Well, there's a couple more that's got it in there, but the NIV don't have it in there. I don't know why they made the verse go from verse 16 to verse 18. Why did they at least put verse 17 in there? They just put the whole verse. But anyway, Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. That Ethiopian eunuch, Sister Phyllis, he said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He said, stop this chariot right now. They both went down there into that water, and Philip baptized that Ethiopian eunuch, and the Bible said the Spirit of God called away that the preacher, called away Philip. That Ethiopian eunuch saw him no more, and Phyllis, the Bible said, he went on his way rejoicing.
Yeah.
I'm rejoicing in my Savior every moment of the day since he gave me this heart of love.
Right.
On and on we walk together in the hallelujah way.
Right.
But you can have that today. God offers it.
Yes,
he offers it to all.
Yeah.
He offered it to me, and I took it. 10, 30 years ago, I took it.
Me too.
Man, all the dread I got, I wish I took it sooner. I mean, I had an opportunity to have it at age 18.
That's right.
I remember my godly grandfather, Edgar Gurnals. I wish Brother Harvey's here because he probably knows my grandfather. And my grandfather, Edgar Gurnals, come up to me in my backyard, and Brother Mitch, I'm sitting there with a tall boy passing the ribbon. I just kind of stuck it behind my back. Of course, he didn't really care about what I had behind my back. He walked up to his grandson. I was 18 years old at the time. I thought I knew something, and I didn't know nothing of what I needed to know, Sister Joanne.
Amen.
And he walked up to me, and his glasses was about an inch thick. He had real bad eyesight. He walked up to me, Joanne, big tears dripping out of his cheeks. It looked like bowling balls rolling down there because of them glasses. He said, horsefly. He said, I sure wish you'd get saved. Now, I thought, pretty stupid, Sharon. I thought, I'm kind of like Paul. I thought within myself. I thought, Papa Ed, I'm 18. Maybe when I'm 81, I might give what's left to God. But I'm 18. I want to live my life. Listen, you ain't never lived a single day until you get saved.
Amen.
We're dead, trespasses, and sins.
Right. Yeah.
That's right.
Until the Lord takes His rightful place upon the throne of our heart, and then we have everlasting life. But I thought, like Paul, I thought the wrong thought. I thought, Papa Ed, I'm 18. Maybe when I'm 81, I might be.
Uh-oh.
He said, I'm praying for you. You know what he told me, Brother Ed? He said, if you ever want to get saved, he said, I don't care what hour of the day
it is.
Right. He said, you come down here to my house. And he said, I like what he said, Brother Mitchell. He said, I'll personally introduce you to Jesus.
I
thought about that even wrong, Sister Joanne, Sister Rita. I thought, well, anytime I want to, I get saved.
Yeah.
There wasn't no time off. My grandfather graduated this life.
Yeah. Right.
Boy, he did all hope. And in Acts chapter 28, Paul's on a ship and they're in a terrible storm.
Yeah.
And there's a verse that says, all hope of being saved was then taken away. I kind of felt a little bit like that.
Mm.
I thought I'll never get saved. Now nobody cared for my soul but Papa Ed. But there was another care for my soul.
Amen.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I didn't know him yet, but he knew what I needed. He knew I needed him. I always said, simple Lord, build a house. They labor to build it, labor in vain. But anyway, Papa Ed, after we done his funeral, I thought, man, I'll never get saved now. But anyway, at the age of 34 years old, I don't know how many years that is from 18, but at the age of 34 years old, I finally did get saved.
Amen.
I know up in heaven, the herald of heaven cupped his hand and said, anyway, just got saved. I guess my grandfather done cartwheels, flips, I don't know. But I guarantee you, the Bible said there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents, over 99 just persons that need no repentance. So I'm just going to say my grandfather had a hallelujah fit. And anyway, I said all that to say this. Don't try to figure this thing out in your mind.
No.
Just do this. If you're lost here today, don't leave lost.
Right.
There's a devil out there. The Bible said he's like a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. He'll devour you.
That's right, he will.
The Bible says, cast all your care upon him, Jesus, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Because he cares for you. Nobody ever cared for me like Jesus did. He cared for me enough to die for me. And he cared for me enough to rise from the dead to show me that I would have victory over the grave. And we sung that song, "Ain't no grave gonna hold my body." Well, it's because of Jesus. He got up. If he hadn't have got up, Paul said, "Our preaching's vain, your faith's vain." But he got up. And that's the victory that he got up. And he's got the victory over death, hell, and the grave. He's got the keys. You're here lost today. Don't leave lost.
Right.
The Bible doesn't say tomorrow's the day of salvation.
That's right.
Today is the day. Says today is the day of salvation.
That's right.
It even goes so far, Brother Ed, to say now is accepted time.
Amen.
I mean, there's no better time. And now, can you tell me a better time than right now?
Right.
There's no better time.
Right.
And the Bible says today, if you hear His voice.
That's right.
That's right.
God has spoke here this morning. Like I said, God can speak to this congregation.
Yes, right.
He can speak to one person.
Yeah.
And none of us would even know.
Right.
But that one person would.
Yeah.
Saul heard the voice of God.
Yeah.
And the man with him didn't hear it. And Saul never was Saul again. He became Paul, the greatest apostle of them all. But you'll never become anything for God.
Right.
Until you do what God says.
That's exactly
right. Give me thine heart. If you give your heart to Him, He'll never mistreat you.
Right, right.
You can trust Him with your heart. He'll never break it. He'll never betray it. The best one I know to give your heart to is the Lord.
Amen.
That's right.
Today, if you give Him your heart, He'll give
That's
you
right.
forgiveness
Amen.
Of sins. He'll give you salvation, give you peace, give you joy. There's no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. You know, you can't buy peace. You can't go to your neighbor's house and borrow peace.
No.
You got to get it from the Prince of Peace, Brother Mitchell.
Amen.
He's the only one that can give peace.
Right.
He gave me peace that passed all understanding. I've got so much peace, I got a surplus of it. It's almost like I could open up a roadside stand and give some away. But here, I've got peace like an ocean. I mean, I've got oceans of peace. You can't drain it all out. I've got so much peace. I mean, if a man come in with a double barrel shotgun pointed at me, I say, "Boy, you can't threaten me with heaven. I've got peace." You can't feel that kind of peace. You just can't overthrow that kind of peace. I mean, no weapon formed against me can prosper. I'm still going to heaven, just going a little earlier. And with praise God, I'm still going. And I'm telling you, praise God, if God be for you, who can be against you? But that peace.
That's right.
Don't go through this life without that peace. Father, I thank you for the privilege to stand for your word. And Lord, I don't know how this message went. I did my best, Lord, to deliver it. But Lord, I pray somebody here today, Lord, I pray they lay hold on eternal life. I pray that, Lord, that word found the good ground. I pray, God, today someone, Lord, heard something today they's needing in their own life. And I pray they be a doer, not a hearer only. I pray they do something with that word. I pray, Lord Father, they would let your will be accomplished in their life. You said, "Come unto me," and Lord, they'll go anywhere but to you. Then you went so far as to say, "You will not come to me that you may have life." And that's pretty much what we all were until, Lord, you got your way. And we finally raised our white flag of surrender. And Lord, that song says, "I surrender all." What a song. If we could just surrender all to you, Lord, we wouldn't have to worry anymore. But I pray, Father, for these that are before me. And Lord, if there's anything that needs to be done, may the Holy Ghost of God be the one to do it. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Jerry, would you give us a couple of verses of invitational hymn? And Sister Sharon, would you help us out, please, on the piano? Like I said, I don't know how the Word of God came to you. It blessed me, but maybe it didn't bless you. Maybe it's got you thinking about where you stand with God. I don't know. We had four people come forward last Sunday, and that was a blessing.